Now, before we start into our work, I have some business that I have to take care of. Come here. Don't roll your eyes. Don't make me come down here and get you. Get up here. That's the kiss of safety. My man got his license this week. He came in all full of himself this morning. You look a little red and uncomfortable. Yes, I love that word. It's going to happen. We're going to have a lot of fun with it today. He said, and I quote, on the 11th, all of you all have got to turn your licenses in because that's your birthday, right?
Apparently
that's your birthday. You don't know when your birthday is? Are you uncomfortable right now? You look very uncomfortable.
I am.
16 years old, got a driver's license. I asked if he'd driven by himself yet. Now, this is not the same man that was in the office this morning. Yes, I did, man. It's so much fun. It's really cool. You don't look so happy all of a sudden. I know. It's great, isn't it? Welcome to my world. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I ask for your protection upon this young life as he crosses a threshold of journey and begins into a world of danger. It's kind of funny when you put it like that, but it's also not. I pray for Toddy to be protected, that he would be kept safe from harm as a new page, a new chapter in his life is written. That you would give Grandma and Mama peace. Be with this, my brother, your child, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
What's that?
Kids
don't get that. They get gifts. Old people get some too. Turn in your Bibles. John chapter 3, the first 21 verses. Nicodemus visits Jesus at night. John chapter 3. Verses 1 through 21. For the sermon, uncomfortable. You may remember this chapter. There is a verse that lies within this chapter that perhaps you all may have heard once or twice in your life. I, being smart and super intelligent, have committed that verse to memory. I would suggest you all try to do the same. Chapter 3, verse 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him. In reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How can a man be born when he is old? Nicodemus asked. Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear the sound but cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus, and you do not understand these things? I tell you the truth, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of earthly things, heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except for the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in Him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. May God add his blessings to this powerful set of words. As we seek him in prayer, would you please join with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are able to be here unharmed, unhurt, ready to receive. And that we would be lifted up through this sermon, through these words, that we would walk a little closer, a little stronger, a little more with you, Father. These are not mine. Ever. They are yours. And happily, I will put those ramblings that you have given me to use for you. May we come to know you, Father, through these words. May we be joined in fellowship with the Holy Spirit now. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of his children said, Amen. Would anybody like to guess where I was this past week? That's right. I was at WKRP in Cincinnati. Couldn't find the radio station. I was at Cincinnati, Ohio. And to think my conference experience should be summed up in one word. One word. Uncomfortable. That's the sermon title. That was my conference experience. Uncomfortable. And guess what I found out? That is a good thing. To be uncomfortable. Would you all like to see and hear my definition of uncomfortable? Say amen.
Amen.
Give me a second. I prepared for this. I want you to see what your pastor looked like throughout this whole past week in a way that he doesn't want to be seen. I'll be right back. You can talk amongst yourselves. The list. I hate backpacks. I am not 11 years old anymore. It doesn't even have Spider-Man or Speed Racer or anything cool on it. I had to wear a backpack. I wore a hat because I didn't want anybody to see me. And I wore it down low. And in my backpack was all the paraphernalia I needed. What is it you say?
What is it?
Well, let me show you. First, you have to take the backpack off, and you have to go sit down. And in here was my conference guidebook.
This thing had everything I'm supposed to read. It had hymns in the back, which we will discuss later. And it's a documentation of the fact that I took continuing education classes. Guidebook. I'm in church now. I want exact. What else is in here? Ah, yes. Rag. Why? It was 1,000 degrees in that building. Let's see. Oh, yeah. Can't forget this. In my front pocket are the remnants of a popsicle. And that's where I kept my wallet. And back here was my phone and tissues, because my wife made me carry a pack of Mickey Mouse tissues. And here's all my conference stuff. All the stuff I had to read and know. And a backup hat, just in case. An hairbrush. Because that'll look good on camera. Let me get down through my conference stuff. There was a lot of downtime. I would leave at 7 o'clock in the morning and not get back to the hotel room until 10 o'clock at night. Had I been wearing a pedometer, I'll bet you I walked 5, maybe even 6 miles total. Because nothing in that building was where it was supposed to be. If you were over here, the next place you needed to be was 1.5 miles that way. If you were over there, you had to come back 1.5 miles to get here. I didn't get to eat. I'm telling you the story from my perspective. There were no restaurants around there that you could afford. There was no McDonald's or Subway's or Popeye's Chicken or anything. You had to walk blocks upon blocks to get to that. I don't walk. And I wasn't going through the trouble to get my car back out. So 2 nights I went to bed without supper. I never ate breakfast because there was no breakfast. Oh, I went to look at breakfast. Breakfast was $15 a plate. No thank you. Water was great. $3.50 a bottle. I had lunch every day. I got to eat ribs 2 days in a row. I love ribs. The second day I was there, the lady apparently, as I had been told, I might actually on occasion stand out in a crowd, and I'll bet dressed the way I was, I did stand out in a crowd. The lady walked, when I walked up the second day, she goes, "Ribs, right? No sauce." I said, "Yes, ma'am." She says, "Will you have the baked bean or the baked macaroni and cheese with it again?" "Yes, ma'am. I see you have chicken and dumplings. Is that a separate plate?" She goes, "Not for you, honey. I'll put some on there." That was good. And then I would go and I would sit down and people would walk by me. And there was these long, long lines for the other place, which was chili dogs. I didn't eat them. And another place, which was serving pulled pork. And everybody would walk by me eating ribs. "Where'd you get the ribs from?" I said, "Over there. You should go over there." And they look and the line was already way long. I know how to eat. You guys are dealing with a professional. But I was uncomfortable. I have some paraphernalia here. In order to keep my comfort level down to a minimum, or bring it up to a minimum, I brought proper reading material. Right? Steam engine magazines, engineers and engines, and I sat and read them. "This is your delegate packet. This is the schedule of everything that the delegates..." Oh yeah, I doodled all over that thing, didn't I? I drew steam engines and practiced my pinstriping techniques, and I went to all these different things during the day. We had 2 business sessions a day. Uncomfortable. And then here's everything I needed to know and study and approve of, and there's even a page in here that shows that I went to a class. I went to church every night. The sessions, the evening sessions, were great. Just the one? Yeah, keep this one out. They had a bulletin, and in the bulletin told you where to give your money, which I was not prepared for. I had, now that comes in a moment. This was my notepad. I got real interested in it. You can see all the notes I took. 1 page worth. and some more necessary farm show reading material. Then I had my Bible with me all the time. But my experience can be summed up as uncomfortable. As you all have gotten to know me over the years, you realize that I am not always happy to have people around me. I do good with it for a while, but then my filter starts to get clogged up and I need some time to just be left alone. And this was one of those times where I just wanted to be left alone. And my wife says, "You stand out in a crowd." Now I need to gauge the brothers and sisters here. By show of hands, how many people actually think that I'm someone who would stand out? I'm not done talking yet. How many people think that I would actually stand out in a crowd of 2,000 people? Let me see. You guys are terrible. I do not stick out that bad. Apparently I did. Let me tell you why it was uncomfortable. I had to go get a rental car. And on the night we went to get the rental car, all of Hagerstown was in Enterprise's rental office. Luckily I had called for reservations. But there was no seats to sit down on. And when they finally opened up a seat, while I waited for my rental car to be prepped up, I was told that they didn't have the car I wanted, and they were going to put me in a shoebox. And at the last minute, they found a car that I liked, a Ford Escape, that I fit. But I had to sit in a room with a guy next to me that chewed his gum like this to a woman who wouldn't quit talking on her phone. Uncomfortable. Unhappy. When they put me in the car, I drove out of Hagerstown so fast. Just so you all know, according to my GPS that I used for the fun of it, it said that I was due to arrive Tuesday night at 12:15 a.m. In Cincinnati. And I said, well, that can't be right. Let me see if I can fix that little problem. And I arrived at 11:45 on Tuesday in Cincinnati. Supposed to take 7 hours? Nah, I could do it better than that. And I did. On the way back, I did it even faster. But I get there, and I check in, and I go up to my room, which was supposed to be right next to the elevator, but the elevator must have been at the end of the hall, because that's where they put my room at, although I never saw that. But I'm just happy to be there. I'm happy. Now, let me get in the room. I'm so uncomfortable, I just want to sit down. And I went in, and I threw my stuff down. I dropped my bag down, and I threw my stuff on the bed, and I said, let me just sit down here on the bed and take a breath. And I sat down at the head, at the foot of the bed, and when I did, the bed flipped up over and dumped me out on the floor. I'll let you get finished laughing. Because it's a long ways till you're done laughing. I went, right down on the ground. I went in the bathroom, and I looked. There was no toilet paper. Uncomfortable. I make it through that night. I get up the next morning, and I go down, and Starbucks is open. I'm not a big coffee drinker, but I was hungry. Oh, my golly, I was hungry. And I hadn't had no breakfast. I thought, okay, last night was it. That was all the bad stuff that's going to happen. Right? And I'm hungry. And I'm going to make a bad choice. So I went up and I got a bottle of water, a bottle of apple juice, and they had a box of my favorite candy bar in the whole wide world. And this is not an advertisement for you to bring them to me. It's just how it was. Snickers bars are the greatest candy bar ever made. They got chocolate and caramel and peanuts. And I pulled my... You like it? That's right. I pulled my candy bar out, and I got my Snickers bar out, and it had something written on it. And I just reached over like this and grabbed it and set it down, paid for it, went somewhere to sit down, ate my candy bar. That was going to be my breakfast. And they have writing on candy bar papers now, and mine says, awkward. Awkward. Oh, boy, was this thing ever right. I got up that morning to take my first shower. And the curtain moved on its own the entire time and stuck to me the whole time I was trying to take my shower. I closed the door, I opened the door. I blew at it. And it attacked me.
Maybe there's a ghost.
When I go into it on Wednesday, I go in and I check in. And that's where it's really going to get out of control for me. I said, "Hi, I'm Paul Letterman here from the Long Meadow Church of the Brethren. I'm here to check in." And she said, "How do you spell your last name?" With an L. Letterman. "Oh yeah, here it is." And she puts this thing on and she says, "I'm so happy to see you. You're going to have such a great time." "Oh, this is your first conference, isn't it?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." "Well, hold on. We have a special treat." And I'm thinking, another candy bar. And she puts on a pink ribbon that says, "My first annual conference." "Why don't you staple it to my forehead?" Pink! You can see it from the space shuttle. And I stepped away from the booth and I walked around, and person after person would come to me and go, "Why, it's so lovely to have you. It's your first conference. Please don't talk to me. I just want to be left alone." And they came up to me over and over again, and I was uncomfortable. And I went and I got my first lunch, which was the ribs. And I looked out and there was 20 tables. And I said, "I'm going to go sit at the table. And I'm going to read through my book, and I'm going to look at my steam engine book, because I don't really have anything to do for a little while till the exhibits open up, and I don't have a class to go to, and I'm just going to sit here and I'm going to relax." So I picked the 11th table in the first row. They are as far away from the food as you can get. And I sat down. "Father, thank you for this food I'm about to receive. May I ever be truly thankful. Give me patience and guidance and courage. Amen. May we sit down here?" "Sure. All six of you. At this table where there's all these other tables open." And they sat next to me. They couldn't sit on the other side of the table to come down. They sat on both sides of me and they started talking to me. And I was like, "Is this your idea of a joke?" And then they noticed the pink ribbon. "Oh my, it's your first conference. And blah, 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 blah. And you're eating ribs. Where did you get the ribs?" "I got the ribs over here." And blah, 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 blah. And so I wandered around, because on Wednesday, it's kind of an open day. You get to see things. And I checked out what was going on. And I said, "You know what? In here is a whole listing of the schedule and the things you could do." I said, "I'm hungry." And I read my tour guide, Camp Swatara 75th Anniversary Celebration Dinner. Well, that's for me. Go buy a ticket up at the meal ticket place. It's all about celebrating how that camp... Has anybody in here ever heard of Camp Swatara over there in Pennsylvania? Yeah, it's a great place. I knew people that went there. When I was in youth conference, I had friends that went there. We always wanted to go there because it is a beautiful, beautiful camp. And I knew some girls that went there. And so I said, "Hey, I want to go and see the 75th celebration. It says in here, join with us, share with us as we tell the story." That's not what it says. It says, "Join with us and share with us as you tell your story." But I read that story. So I bought a ticket and I went. And the thing started at 5 o'clock. And I like to be early to places, so that I can get a table where people won't sit near me. And I walked in and there was all these tables and nobody was there. There were two people. "Oh man, look, there's a table way in the back by the corner. That's for me." And I went over and I got caught by the camp leaders. "Hi, what's your name?" "Oh, it's your first conference, isn't it?" "Yes." "Well, what's your story of Camp Swatara?" "What do you mean?" "Well, obviously you went there. That's why you're here for the dinner, aren't you?" Nope. And they looked at me for the longest time like this. They said, this is a celebration for 75 years that the camp has been there, and we're inviting all the people that have been to camp to come and tell their stories. Have you ever really been there? Nope. They said, well, welcome. Sit down. I said, okay, I'm going to go over here and sit. And the camp leaders, counselors, the directors of the camp came and sat with me, as well as the camp board chairman and his whole family sat with me, as well as the camp leader of the ropes course sat with me, as well as the camp vesper leader who had been there when she was, I don't know, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old for many years, and she was now in her 70s, and she sat with me, and all of them wanted to talk to me about my experience at a camp I've never been to. I was uncomfortable. And I talked to them about Shepherd Springs. And the leader of the camp, Joel, turns to me. And he says, Paul, what is your connection with the camp? And I, before I could stop my big mouth from letting go, I turned to him. I said, I knew some girls that went there.
Oh, my gosh.
Not the right thing to say. I said, no, we knew it growing up. We knew of it. We always wanted to go. I know where it's at. I've driven by it. I've just never been able to get there. On Thursday morning, I got up, and after my 6 o'clock fight with the shower curtain, I go in, I eat a banana, that's safe, right? I'm going to get a banana, I'm going to eat that for breakfast. And I opened my banana, and halfway down, it was rotten. Lord, this is not working so well. But the session, the business session starts at 8 o'clock, 8:30, sorry. And I'm thinking, I'm going to go find me a chair, and I'm going to sit in that chair, and I'm going to be way away from everybody, and I'll just be a quiet delegate. On my label, you'll notice the number 4. They had tables with assigned seating. Oh, joy! I'm at table number 4. Would anybody like to guess where table number 4 is? That's right! Right at the front of everything, right in front of the speakers. Wow! And nobody at the table I know sits down. I am uncomfortable. And they start talking to me about everything. And I look. And the table next to me, I'm glad I was not at, because there were men there wearing flip-flops, sandals with socks, and one didn't even have shoes on. Where is my dabbing rag? Because I am really sweating. And we get to our first question of the day halfway through the first session, and the facilitator, a wonderful man by the name of Gary Benesh, and I'm telling you, he's coming to see us. He's anxious to come up and see tour the battlefields, and he says, when I come up, I want to come to church with you. You please do. Gary is a wonderful individual. Gary looks all around the table at all these people from Ohio and Pennsylvania and Illinois and Michigan. And he looks around the table and he gets to the first question and he goes, Paul, what do you think? Yeah, I think that there's 10 other people around this table. But I made it through. And then I went to lunch again on Thursday. And I got there before anybody else. And the lady, Miss Julia, said, and she, that was the day she gave me the chicken and dumplings along with my ribs. And I went over, look, there's a table way back there. And I'm going to sit down. I'm going to do this again. Only this time I'm going to get that other table that nobody ever hardly sits at. And I think it's because the fan blows right there or something. And I ran back there and I sat down and there's nobody there. And I put my meal down and I've prayed. Lord, thank you for this food I'm about to receive. May I be eternally grateful. Thank you for this blessing. Guide me as I go through this day. Amen. And nobody there. Okay. And I start to tear the ribs again. Hi! There's 5 people wanting to sit down. Yes, please join me. On the Wednesday evening service, I sat at a chair for the church service by myself. I unhooked the chair from all the other chairs. I did this. I unhooked the chairs and walked 10 feet away from everybody and sat down. And a guy walks in and he looks at that and he goes, man, that's a great idea. And he unhooks the chair and he comes over and sits next to me. I want to go home. I'm clicking my heels together and nothing's happening. Thursday evening service comes along. And I find that during the evening service, you may sit at the tables. The delegates can sit there during the day, but anybody can sit there for the evening worship service. And Brian Messner was leading the Thursday evening worship service. And Brian had been one of my teachers when I was taking classes. And so I sat at table 91, which is as far back away from everything as you can be on the right-hand side. And I sat down, and I opened up my reading paraphernalia, and a guy tapped me on the shoulder. It was Doug Lance of the Drainsville Church of the Brethren, one of my good brothers. And Doug and I sat down, and then another lady from Brooklyn, New York, she came in and was lost, and I invited her to sit down. And then another lady and her husband. And then a lady from Brooklyn looked at me, and she goes, "I'm not lost as you think," and got up and walked away. She had found her people. There's more to that story. And another lady comes in, just as quiet and unassuming, and sits down and begins to talk to us. And I look at her name tag, and I'm like, "Oh, you're from Indiana. I'm from Maryland." And you know, we're exchanging. And her name is Rosanna Eller McFadden. And she's just a very nice person. And she's very quiet and unassuming. And I'm sitting there telling her dumb pastor jokes. I said, "Hey, get your... listen to what I'm about to say." I said, "Hey, pass these on to your preacher for a Sunday morning. If he tells jokes, you're going to love him." And I told her a couple. And she laughed and she goes, "I will do that." And the service was over. And I went back to the hotel hungry. I ate a granola bar and a Hershey's Kiss and had water. I got up the next morning, met on the field of battle with the shower curtain, and lost again. Forgot the bed flips up, sat down, sat on the floor again. Turned the TV on, and the TV always comes on at full volume again. I went back and I spent Friday, going through my business session. And then amongst all that, I took some classes. I had to go to the first annual conference new attendee orientation rookie class. There's about 100 people in there. I unhooked the chair, carried it over, and set it in the corner because I had figured things out. And this was on Wednesday night, and somebody comes in and looks at me and says, "That's a great idea." And they unhooked the chair, but it didn't sit right next to me. And then comes this young girl in front of me. They were selling giant turkey legs there that were roasted. And she's slobbering away at that thing while I've not had anything. And she's sharing it with her mother. And the smell is... And I took a class on intentional interim ministry, where I learned about the powerful problems and blessings that face interim ministers. And I sat down in that room. I got there first. And I unhooked my chair and I tried to sit by myself. And the district executive, Gene Hagenberger, walks in and pulls a chair loose and sits near me. As does Tim Ritchie Martin from Grossnickel Church of the Brethren, who is part of the calling in credentials. He will be looking at me for ordination shortly. He's in there. Then we went, then later on that night, because you can take a night class, I took a class on eternal life, taught by a man named Russell Hatch. If I can ever get him here. He was incredible. Incredible. And again, people seemed drawn to sit next to me in an empty room. And I went home Thursday night, and I got up Friday, and I did my thing, and I went to the business sessions. And on Friday, I actually went to the Brethren Revival Fellowship luncheon. And if you're unfamiliar with the BRF, go back there to the rack by the water fountains and get all their reading. It's great reading. It's powerful stuff. And I sat with people that I know. And I began to come to the understanding of why I was uncomfortable and why it was a good thing. We went back to work. Thursday evening came around. I don't pay much attention to anything. I stopped at the table this time to finally pick up the journal for tonight. And I looked. Oh, no. The preacher for Friday night was Rosanna Eller McFadden. Oh, no. The woman I had sat beside telling, "Tell your pastor these jokes. He'll love them." She was the speaker to 2,000 people that night. Uncomfortable! And as I'm sitting there looking at that, and I'm getting all bent out of shape because of what I said, suddenly here comes my lovely lady from Brooklyn. Lovely black woman dressed in this beautiful dress that sparkles all over it, that shined when the light hit it. And she came over and she says, I'm back and I'm still not lost, but I'm sitting with you tonight because you have such a great way about you. And she sat down. And I'm sitting there with my books open and I'm reading. And other people came to sit down. And I began to realize, the first thing I did was take my sermon notes away. But I began to realize that within all this, uncomfortable was the word I was supposed to have. Uncomfortable was who I was supposed to be. I was needed to be reminded of the humility and the connection that we need to each other. Arthur Somers Roach said that uncomfortable is anxiety. And anxiety is the thin stream of fear trickling through the mind, and if encouraged, it cuts a channel into which all other thoughts are drained out. That was me. Uncomfortable and allowing anxiety and fear and conceitedness and pride cut a channel through me, and I almost missed the conference. Almost missed it. All because of the unknown. In this room, how many people, when something is unknown and you're going into it, are uncomfortable? Say amen. Put your hands up. Say amen. Say hallelujah. Be thankful you are. But handle it the right way. From an old mariner's chart drawn in 1525 on display in the British Museum in London outlining the North American, that's us, coastline and adjacent waters, the cartographer made some intriguing notations on areas of the map that represented regions not yet explored. In America, in North America, in 1525, he wrote, here be giants. Here be fiery scorpions, and here be dragons. Eventually, the map came into the possession of Sir John Franklin, a British explorer in the early 1800s, having now known North America, scratching out the fearful inscriptions, he wrote the words across the map, here be God. Amen. When we are uncomfortable, it is not because it is a place that we have put ourselves, it is a place He has put us to learn, to grow, to be strengthened. I wouldn't trade a single moment of everything I went through this past week to have a quiet, easy feeling at conference. I wouldn't have learned anything. Uncomfortable is really what we don't know or understand or fear, and that makes us uncomfortable. And yet, that is what God wants us to truly be, is uncomfortable. That don't sound right, Paul. Yes, it does. Let me ask you a question. When you are scared of the dark, adults, whom do you turn to? That did not sound very reassuring. Who do you turn to? Notice I didn't say who you're going to call so nobody would go, Ghostbusters. When you are afraid, and I'm talking scared, laying on the hospital gurney, going in for surgery, whom are you talking to? Are you comfortable? When someone you love is hurting themselves, who do you pray to? If we didn't have that feeling, we wouldn't know God. We wouldn't have needed His Son. We would ignore Him. We would trudge on through life. And we would forget God. Let's go back to the scripture for a moment. I never thought of this scripture in the way that I did as being an uncomfortable scripture. But we're going to take a look at it for a moment
And we're going to start with our man Nicodemus. Now, growing up, there's a Nicodemus Road, there's Nicodemus Avenue. When I was growing up, I was always taught that Nicodemus was the name he gave someone who was bad at times. Nicodemus. Hey, you see that Nicodemus running over there? But Nicodemus is not bad. He's a Pharisee. The Bible says, now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. A man of the Pharisees. That means he was super smart. He was intelligent. He was trained. He was taught. He was educated in the Pharisee way. A member of the Jewish... You need to read that again. A member of the Jewish ruling council. If you're sitting on that council, you are somebody. And the Jews, at that time, for the most part, did they believe that Jesus Christ was the Messiah? Yes, right? Again, you're not reassuring me a whole lot. Yes or no?
No.
You're right. No. And yet, Nicodemus was uncomfortable. Scared a little bit, maybe. Let's read on. I just want to read the first part. I just really want to set the tone, and I want you to double back to a scripture length that we only ever pull one verse out of, and we forget how that verse came into existence. A member of the Jewish ruling council, he came to Jesus at night and said, at night. Why? Right. Thank you. That's my wife that said that. I'll actually buy you supper today. Was he uncomfortable? Say amen.
Amen.
Does anybody in this room would be uncomfortable approaching Jesus? Yeah. Day or night. He goes to him at night because he is scared of everything. He is afraid of what Jesus is saying. He's afraid of what people will think if they see him. He is afraid of his own self. He is uncomfortable. And he starts off by saying, Rabbi, teacher, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one, if your Bible is your own, underline that, for no one. I don't care if you do it in the church Bible. Somebody reads that, it'll trigger into them. Don't look at me like that. For no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him. How uncomfortable do you think a Pharisee ruler, an official council man, coming to Jesus at night, falls down in front of him and utters these words? Do you think he was happy about it? He absolutely was not. He was as unhappy as I was watching the guy at the table next to me not wearing shoes. Terrified! And yet he asks. And Jesus starts talking to him. And tells him what he needs to know. I will tell you the truth. When Jesus Christ in the Bible, I don't care if it's in red or black, I don't care how it's written. When you hear those words, I will tell you the truth, your ears better turn forward and listen. Because he is telling you the truth. This is not made up. This is not maybe. There is nothing here to dissect. There is no need to have a long theology lesson. I tell you the truth means he is telling you the truth. And there is no other truth in this world as great as when Jesus Christ speaks. I will tell you the truth. Amen. He tells him he's got to be born again. And the Nicodemus says, how in the world am I supposed to do that? I'm an old man. Am I supposed to hunt my mama down and get born again? Are you going to tap me on the head and I'm going to go back in her belly? How am I supposed to do that? And I love Jesus again. I tell you the truth. Listen to me. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Baptism does not save our worthless hides. The acceptance of the Spirit of Jesus Christ does. The water merely rinses it away. I'm sure every time that I go in live water to baptize someone, if you knew me back in the day, I'm sure somebody mutters under their breath somewhere, somebody ought to pray for the fish when he gets in there. But we go in to wash it off, and that's what Jesus is saying. I didn't say that.
Once you're born of a woman, you're born of a woman. The flesh is the flesh. I'm talking about what's going to take you into heaven. And that is the belief in me. And what do we see? How can that be? Nicodemus asked. Here's a man so out of his element, so uncomfortable, so anxious. He says to Jesus Christ, how can that be? And I love the response. Because it is a reflection of us. You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus. And do you not understand these things? How in the world are you that educated and know that much and you can't understand these things? Do you think by now Nicodemus was terribly uncomfortable? I've dedicated my whole life to reading the Torah, to making sure I honor Jewish custom. I've grown to a point where I'm a council ruler, and you're going to look at me, you dirty, walking preacher, and ask me, how do I not know what I know? I don't know what I know. And that's why I'm here. I wish it would have said that. I'm sure maybe it did. I'm sure that Nicodemus' eyes filled with tears and his heart began to beat harder as he realized that the uncomfortable feeling he had was fostered by the fact that Jesus was telling the truth. And he goes on. He does not stop there. Jesus goes on and gets going hard. I tell you the truth. Again, I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth that we speak of what we know. And we testify to what we have seen, but still, people do not accept this testimony. He's saying, you see me, you saw me touch that person and heal them. You know what I'm doing. Nobody else can do that. And yet you still don't believe. I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then are you going to believe when I tell you about the kingdom of God? How are you going to believe about heavenly things? You have got to get over yourself, child. God so loved the world. Jesus speaking of himself. Verse 17, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but he sent, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not, underline, condemned. This is the part that if you're ever locked into an engagement debate with anyone other than a Christian, and unfortunately, some Christians. Verse 17, the second part. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God and his only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world. That's when we get uncomfortable. It's when we get lost for a moment, when we start thinking that we're more than what we are. And all 21 verses point to the fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the only way to heaven, the only light, the only truth, the only way, and that's it. And you don't have to go back to mama and be born again. You simply have to believe. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and I accept him. No substitutions. Yeah, you want to get baptized because that's what he says to do. That kind of seals the deal, you know. Puts a stamp on it, dots the I, crosses the T. When I get real mixed up, I say dots the T and crosses the I. We are afraid of getting embarrassed. When we become uncomfortable, it's because we're afraid of becoming embarrassed because of what we'll say. Sir Thomas Beecham, second baronet, died in 1961, born in 1879, was an English conductor and an impresario. He was the man behind the baton for the London Philharmonic and the Royal Philharmonic. He's the one that got to get up there in the clawhammer suit and conduct them and led them and was courted by dignitaries and was lifted up, and he was closely associated with royalty. He once saw a distinguished-looking woman in a hotel foyer, and he said, you know, I think I know her, but I'm uncomfortable speaking to her, but okay. So So he paused to talk with her. And they talked for a little while. And he vaguely recollected, she's got a brother. What is her name? Who is this woman? Hoping for a clue, he asked her how her brother was and if he was still working at the same job. And the woman gave pause and looked at him for a moment and smiled and said, oh, he's very well. And yes, in case you're curious, he is still the King of England. We're afraid of that embarrassment. That's what makes us uncomfortable. We're afraid to say, hey, I know Jesus Christ. Do you? Because we're afraid of what will happen. But let me tell you about my Friday night story. Yes, you've heard about Rosanna McFadden, who taped a beautiful sermon. And by the way, the stuff's online, right? You can go watch the evening services. And apparently on Friday night at the evening service, they panned the camera around on me. Tell them, honey.
I was watching it from home.
She was watching it while I was sitting there taking it in live. I don't stand out in a crowd. But on Friday night, as I sat there at the table, I had these three magazines with me. Because I was determined to just sit quietly and read. I would get to the evening service 45 minutes early just so I could get that table and sit there and read. I had Engineers and Engines, I had the Farm Show, and I had Old Glory. Old Glory is one of my favorite magazines, all about British steam, and I was just sitting there reading about, of all things, the Cog Railway up in New Hampshire, Mount Washington. And a young guy sat down, well, not young, my age, sat down next to me, and he just, is this seat taken? I mean, right next to me. Now, go ahead, sit down. By now, I don't care anymore. I'm starting to get it. The only thing I'm not looking forward to is the Saturday morning battle with the shower curtain. And he sits down and he doesn't say anything. And I kind of glance out of the corner of my eye and he's looking nervous. So I thought, well, maybe he just wants to sit. And I kept reading. And he turned and he goes, are you into steam engines? Oh. Yes. He goes, what magazine are you reading? Brother, come here and hug me. And I slid it over to him. He said, I've never heard of this magazine. And we talked and I told him about it. He said, I like tractors and steam engines. I don't own any of them, but I love them. I think they're fascinating. And I began to show him pictures of mine, which is not in its best state. I said, have you seen this magazine? Never heard of it. And so I gave him all the information because he wants to subscribe to them. And we talked and we shared. And he's a recently ordained pastor. His name is Cy Brock Jr., of the Stone Lake Church of the Brethren, somewhere in Ohio. He's recently ordained, and we began to share and talk. And when the service was over, I bade him goodbye, and I went on to the final class I would take Friday night, which was Energizing Your Small Church Congregation. And I went in, nobody there, I unhooked the chair from the racks, went back and sat down in the corner. 10 minutes later, Cy walks in. He goes, Paul. I said, Cy, unhook your chair and come here and sit with me. That's a great idea, Paul. You're a genius. Yes, I know. Call my wife and tell her. And he sits down and we share and we talk. And we talk about the engines. And I show him pictures of another project that I'm working on. And he looks at me for a minute and he goes, in 2,000 people, I never would have expected to meet a steam engine preacher. And I looked at him and I said, I'm blessed with you here. I want to be uncomfortable. More. I'm not going to like it. I don't like it. I don't want it at all. I'm not a good person with that. I don't like talking to people sometimes Because when I get in a crowd, sometimes I just want to sit there and watch. And sometimes I just want to be left alone. And that's okay. But I want to be uncomfortable. Because I realize that what I have in here belongs out there. What you have in the same place belongs out there. So brothers and sisters, learn from Nicodemus. Step forward when tasked. Be uncomfortable. You will learn and grow and receive so much blessing from it. And you'll get a better idea of what Jesus Christ looks like. Thank you for sending me to conference. If you ever think you're going to send me again, I'll go. Happily. Readily. Educatedly. And may God add blessings to your hearts. In joy and praise I give Him to you. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank You. We thank You for the experiences that we have and what we learn and what we grow from. And when we're uncomfortable, it's because You would have us be uncomfortable. Oh, no, we don't like it. Nobody does, really. And yet, what do we get from it? What did Nicodemus get from it? He got put in the Bible, and what do we know of Nicodemus? He gave Your Son the spices in the tomb. Thank You, Father. Thank You for making me uncomfortable. May You make all of us that way and stronger and more blessed in the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and Yourself. Amen. Amen. As we come before the Lord today, if you have a particular need, the bench is open. I am here. Hey, guess what? It's uncomfortable to walk up here with everybody looking at you and kneel down on the bench. I don't need to be there with you if you just want to be between you and God. But guess what? Uncomfortable is where you're supposed to be if you have a prayer to leave with Him. So the bench is wide open. And I invite you up here. May God bless you.
Please stand and turn to page 488.